Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, would you stay with me? It could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show is called The Flatline, F-L-O-T, military acronym, for the Forward Line of Troops. 30 minutes of motivation and inspiration and education and no manipulation. Nobody trying to get you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. It's just information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. We spin our show off of a term called the Flatline. That's a military protocol term for the forward line of troops or the main line of resistance. And the concept is that there are tremendous troops or promises or procedures that you can learn in the Word of God. And if you learn them, and if you apply them into your life, they can act like a main line of resistance. They will stop the outside pressure of adversity before it ever becomes the inside pressure of stress. You see, adversity is inevitable as humans, but stress is optional as Christians. We do not have to have stress. There's a better way to live. It's called the Christian life. And by utilizing those 10 problem-solving devices that we teach on this radio show, you can stop adversity before it becomes stress. Now, we go over these problem-solving devices quite frequently, and we have a book written about them. And you're welcome to order the book free of charge. No one ever asks you for any money or sell your name or anything like that. But if you'd like to have that book called Christian Problem Solving, all you have to do is let us know. Just write to us. That's Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100. And I'm in the city of Cropwell, Alabama, C-R-O-P-W-E-L-L, Cropwell, Alabama. You say, where's Cropwell? Well, between Birmingham and Atlanta. Cropwell, Alabama, our zip code, 35054. And you can always find us on the Internet as well at www.bigrick.org, bigrick.org, O-R-G. That's our website. And if you'd like to correspond with us, let us know if the show is clicking or making sense. I do really love to get emails and letters from people where the show is really assisting them and helping them. And so if you'd like to communicate with us, give it a shot. Love to hear from you. Don't send money. We're not asking you for any money. Just keep your money. I've always believed that if God's in it, God will pay for it, and we don't have to ask people for money. So we operate on grace, the grace principle, and God has always paid for this, always has paid for it. It's a strange thing. You'll hear other shows try to sell their information, try to package it up neatly, and for $19.95 you can get these messages. But here we give it away. If you'd like to have any of these radio shows, they're available on MP3 disc, and we can provide all 300 shows on disc for you if you'd like. That's 30 minutes a day of accurate biblical teaching. And just think about putting that in your car and driving back and forth to work a little bit, and you get to hear some of the Flatline. Anyhow, if you'd like to hear from us, let us know. Okay, now we started a show last week. If you were listening, I told you we were going to be talking about game changers. Game changers, people who change the course of history by their life. And game changer is an adjective, I told you that. It's designed to describe a person who alters the way we live or exist. We gave you some examples. We told you about the disciples and mentioned Paul and Silas in the Bible in Acts 17:6, where it says, these that have turned the world upside down have come here also. I would call that a game changer if you turn the world upside down. And obviously the Apostle Paul did. But anyhow, we're going to study a unique individual in the Bible. This unique individual is a man named Apollos, and he had a relationship with Paul. He didn't know Paul at first, but Apollos came to a town called Ephesus, and in Ephesus, Paul had been meeting in the synagogue with the scribes and Pharisees, discussing who and what Jesus Christ was and is. And Paul left them. And when Paul left Ephesus and went on his way to Jerusalem, in came Apollos. And we will pick up the story reading in Acts 18, verses 24 through 28, and draw some analogies from the life of Apollos, a game changer. He was one of those sort of people that changed the course of history. Through his life, through his testimony, he had a tremendous impact on all those around him. As a matter of fact, if you read in the book of Acts, and I'm reading now, by the way, out of Acts, the 18th chapter, if you read in the book of Acts about Apollos the game changer, you will find these words said about him as he went on to minister, and here's what it says. He mightily convinced the Jews, and doing it publicly, showing by means of the scriptures, that would be the Torah, that Jesus was the Christ. Now, that word mightily is impressive, and we'll look at it later, but he was a tremendous game changer. So let's read the passage in Acts 18, 24 and through 28. And then we'll see if we can draw some analogies between Apollos and us. It says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Caia, the brethren wrote letters exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much that had believed through grace. And he mightily convinced the Jews that public and doing it publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was in fact the Christ." Are you with me? Apollos, A-P-O-L-L-O-S. A certain Jew named Apollos. Now, he was from Alexandria, so we need to just a little bit of background on this. This was the second largest city in Egypt. Alexander the Great founded this town in 331 B.C. And by the way, Alexander the Great spent a lot of time in Afghanistan, never got much accomplished there, and finally wound up having to marry one of the chief warlord's daughter just to get out of the country. Never was he able to subdue the Afghans. There's a lesson in history for you. So this town, Alexandria, was founded by Alexander the Great. And it was a tremendous commercial city between Europe and the East, and it became one of the largest cities in the world, second only to Rome. It was a huge town, and it housed in Alexandria the largest Jewish community in the world at that time. It went into Roman jurisdiction eventually named August, and over the last 2,000 years, there's been a lot of fighting in this area. The Persians, the Arabs, the French, the English have all fought major battles in this area. But Alexandria was a Mediterranean seacoast town. One of the things that made it unique, and I think this is where we see what Apollos' background was, is it was a brilliant seat of learning. It had a museum and research, teaching in arts and sciences. And they had something called the library, which contained thousands and thousands of papyrus rolls. And it appears that Apollos was a beneficiary of this stuff. And so he grew up in this city. All of this information available to him at the museum and at the library. And by the way, there is a very significant book written in this city around 200 B.C. before Christ, and that's called the Septuagint, or the LXX. This is the Tanakh, or the Hebrew Bible, that was translated into Greek because there were so many Greek-speaking Jews. And today, theologians often go to the Septuagint to understand Hebrew words in the Old Testament. So Apollos, the Bible says, being from this key town in this region, must have been exposed to some sort of higher learning and higher education, because the Bible says he was an eloquent man. Eloquent. Logios is the word. Logios. That's the Greek word for eloquent, and the word seems to indicate that he was very skilled in literature and in history, and his speech was very well trained. So we can draw some principles from here that would make application to our life. You know, I can't help but I'm a sports fanatic, maybe like you, and since I played a little bit of football at Alabama, I'm an Alabama fan. And I listen to a lot of the sports talk shows in my area, and I can't help but listen to the way people speak when they come on these shows. One thing you can understand about Apollos, he was not a redneck. He had a tremendous vocabulary of more than a few words. He was a very well-educated. He was very articulate. And this is the principle that I want us to draw here. You know, you cannot think and you cannot express yourself without vocabulary. Now, look at it this way. If you're a competitive bass angler like I am, I love to fish in bass tournaments. You've heard me tell you that I was affiliated with Bass Pro Shops on their national fishing team. And if you are fishing in a fishing event, you have to know vocabulary. You have to know what a drop shot is. You have to know what a spinnerbait is. You have to know what a crankbait is. You have to know what a Carolina rig is. You know, you have to know how to slow roll. You have to know how to hop a jig. You have to know how to swim a jig. There's so much technical vocabulary. You have to know if your trolling motor's 36-volt beast or a 12-volt or a 24-volt, or you have to know what your motor is and what the horsepower is and there's just everything to know. Get in the cockpit of a bass boat, it's almost like getting in the cockpit of a jet airplane. So without learning vocabulary, you're pretty limited. You're never going to be effective. If you're a businessman in the business world or a computer person, you have to learn vocabulary. You have to learn about files, and you have to learn about drag and drop, and you have to learn about upload and FTP and emails and downloads. And gee whiz, there's a lot to learn about. Well, the same thing is true in the Christian life. You cannot be an effective believer without at least having a vocabulary to be able to express yourself. And not in cliche terms. You hear what I'm telling you? Listen, I remember people telling me, just turn it over to Jesus, brother. Turn it over to Jesus. And I used to think, what the heck does that mean? Turn it over to Jesus. Can you give me the mechanics, the how to turn it over to Jesus? And they would say, well, you know, just pray about it, brother. Okay, I prayed about it. Is that turning it over to Jesus? Well, no, you got to trust him, brother. Okay, I'm trusting him and I'm praying about it. Is that turning it over to Jesus now? Well, no. And it was a never-ending loop. They didn't know what they were talking about. All they had was this list of cliches. They did not even understand what turn it over to Jesus means. Technically, it's the faith rest drill. It's standing behind the promises of God as a shield of faith, as Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 6. You can't use the faith rest drill if you don't know some of the 7,000 promises of God that are recorded in the Scripture. So, come on. If we're going to be able to communicate effectively the plan of God, we've got to be able to talk about in terms that we can express ourselves and make ourselves clear. I've had people tell me before, this is what they would say to me, you didn't tell me something I didn't know, quote, but you put it in a way I've never heard it put before, quote. That's because we put it in terms they can understand. If you don't understand it, then what are you learning? And if you're just learning cliches, how does it apply to your life? And so Apollos was a very eloquent man. He could take those Old Testament scriptures, that Torah, and deduce from that that the Christ or the Messiah was coming very soon, even as John the Baptist had predicted. John the Baptist was the precursor, the one that went before him. And this is what Apollos knew. He had heard about the ministry of John the Baptist. He knew that John was baptizing people in preparation for the kingdom of God coming. But that's all he knew. That he was very eloquent, able to command the attention of people as he spoke. Think about a magician. If a magician is not very good, if you can see his sleight of hand, well, then he can't hold your attention. But if he's slick and smooth, he can captivate you with your imagination of where did that card go or why did that balloon not pop? Eloquence is imperative in communicating the plan of God. God does not expect you to communicate his plan in terms that cannot be understood. That's why words, and I'll give you a big word here. Let's give you a great big 50-cent word. Post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation. Say it again. Post-salvation epistemological rehabilitation. What does that mean? Well, it simply means that after we get saved, we must rehabilitate ourselves or learn a new vocabulary, a new language, a new lifestyle. After our salvation, the Holy Spirit reshapes and remolds us into something entirely different so that we begin to represent Christ in our life. If you have a disorganized mind, it's usually the result of lazy thinking. And a disorganized mind can be easily captured by some false doctrine called doctrine of demons in the Bible, or some intriguing suggestion. You see, you have to think categorically, and I'm sure this is what Apollos did. Categorical thinking is critical for you. Thinking categorically means that you put things into categories. If I taught you John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." How many categories could I get out of that? Well, I could teach you the doctrine of God. I could teach you the doctrine of the Son. I could teach you the doctrine of the love. I could teach you the doctrine of cosmos or the world. I could teach you all of these doctrines. And if I just taught you the doctrine of God, then I could teach you the divine decree in eternity past. I could teach you the essence of God, how his sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability, on and on and on. If I taught you the Son, there was so much I could teach you about the difference between the hypostatic union of Christ, undiminished deity, true humanity, and one body forever. If I taught you about love, I could go into the most amazing thing called virtue love, and the difference between personal and impersonal love. See, all of these categories can be developed out of that one verse. I promise you, I could spend a year on John 3:16. A year on John 3:16. And guess what? It's layered. Once you peel back one layer, then you will see things you never saw the first time. So there's no room to be a lazy Christian. You know, and not thinking in terms of categories. Here's something I want you to think in terms of. Let's break it down real simple. Phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. What does that mean? Phase 1, salvation. Phase 2, the believer in time. Phase 3, the believer in eternity. Now, if I taught you a class just on those three things, what happens in phase 1, what happens in phase 2, what happens in phase 3? Just imagine how much I could teach you. Just imagine how many hours that would be. See, that's why it's critical that you think in terms of category. And that's why it's critical when a pastor teaches the Word of God that he teach categorically. Some pastors teach topically, and they'll take a topic, but they never develop the categories. And it is the categories that you remember It's the categories that you retain and recall. And when you fail to advance spiritually, you know, that's often associated with a disorganized mind. Complainers who say, well, I don't like that preacher. He uses big old $3 words, and I need a dictionary to follow him. That's just an arrogant statement. It's a person saying, I don't want to learn that. I don't want to go to that level. I'm happy at the level I'm at. Not even good English, is it? I'm happy where I am. You see, listen, some people are willing to grow at 5 miles an hour, and some people would like to grow about 90 miles an hour. And there might be a happy medium in between, but listen, if you are happy just putting around in your boat, just putt, 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 if that's what makes you happy, then that's fine. But I can assure you, you're never going to be put in the game by God. He's never going to be able to trust you because you don't understand his plan. You're not willing to invest the time and the energy that is necessary for you to become an eloquent Christian. Does that make sense? Now, you can blame it on some sort of low IQ. You can blame it on a mental handicap, but that's not it. Some people that I have met have very little education. They know the Bible frontwards and backwards, upside down, inside out. So, listen, spiritual IQ and human IQ are two different things. One of them is a matter of how many brains you got, and the other is a matter of the filling of the Holy Spirit. He teaches you. He's your tutor. He's your mentor. If you're not growing and you're not learning and you cannot eloquently express yourself, it's just a matter of wrong priorities or the fact that you've rejected the idea of learning Scripture just because you're lazy. Listen, you're going to have to learn how to execute the plan of God. It starts with the mystery doctrine of the church. Maybe you've never even heard that term before, the mystery doctrine of the church. What was that? It's what Paul taught. It's what Aquila and Priscilla pulled poor old Apollos over to the side and said, Apollos, we need to get you up to speed. Jesus of Nazareth has already come. He's already been crucified, buried, and resurrected, and ascended. And we're in a new dispensation. We're in the church now. And Jew and Gentile alike are now in the royal family of God. And every believer is now receiving the indwelling and the sealing and the filling of the Holy Spirit. This has never happened before. So he had to learn things, and he did. He learned the mystery doctrine of the church. I can assure you of one thing. If you're going to execute the plan of God, you must know some doctrine. You must have some cognition of the Word of God because that is the only way you can eliminate arrogance. Arrogance is your enemy. And the arrogant person is the one that says, those are too big of words, and that guy, I don't understand him. And listen, when I started learning the Bible, I had to get a dictionary out. I got a dictionary and listened to a pastor teach the Word of God using words that I didn't even recognize. But I was not too lazy to look them up. And I learned. My vocabulary increased. My perceptive ability increased. I wasn't stupid. I just never applied myself. And when you start learning the Word of God, you'll find brains you didn't even know you had. Knowledge is a subject. If you're going to have knowledge of a subject, like the Bible, then you have to have norms and standards and internal values. And people that are ignorant of God's Word, they don't have this knowledge. They don't have this standard. Look, let's take a Christian, Christian A and Christian B. Christian B is a serious student of the Word of God. So he's developed norms. He's developed standards. He follows the protocol plan of God. Christian A never studies. Just goes through the ritual without any reality to it. Loves to get emotionally high at church and sing and do the Lord thump thump, but that's about it. Nothing else happens. And they go home and say, my, it was good. I was with God today. We had a great worship service. What did you learn? Oh, well, we just sang today. We just praised the Lord today. So we had an emotional service. Well, that's fine. What did you learn? Didn't learn anything. Sure felt good. Well, that's great. I mean, there are a lot of times I've learned things and felt horrible. Feelings don't have anything to do with the execution of the Christian life. So if you don't have the Word of God, you're not going to have any norms. You're not going to have any biblical standards. And you're not going to be able to develop integrity in the spiritual life without some categorical doctrine in your soul. You cannot be eloquent if you aren't willing to spend the time studying God's Word. But there's one thing you must understand about eloquence. And you can see this in our modern politics. Eloquence does not guarantee accuracy. Apollos, even though he was eloquent, was not accurate. And Aquila and Priscilla pulled him aside and caught him up to speed. See, there's a difference between being eloquent and articulating your position and being accurate. Apollos was eloquent, but not accurate. And so that meant that his message was anachronistic. His message was anachronistic because he misplaced events and persons and relations to other things. He was speaking out of time. He had a great ability, but he didn't have accurate content. So to be an effective communicator, not only do you have to have accurate great ability, but you must have accurate content. And this is a principle I want to give you. Listen carefully. Content is more critical than ability or desire. Content is more critical than ability or desire. You may have the greatest desire and the greatest ability, but if you have the wrong content, it's useless. And Apollos had the ability but didn't have the content. Thus, he was an anachronism. As a congregation, as an American, as a husband or a wife or a father or a mother, you must learn to distinguish between ability, which is very appealing, and content, which is critical. Never let a personality, never let a person that has great ability sway you away from correct content. If you think about this in terms of politics, you'll understand what I mean. A politician can be the best talking, best looking, mouthful of teeth you've ever seen. But if he doesn't have the correct content, then obviously he's an anachronism. Talks good, sounds good, looks good, says the wrong things. That's why the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Apollos was mighty in the scriptures, the Bible say, and we'll take a look at that next week. And you'll see what the scriptures were that he had conquered. I hope this makes sense. Some pretty heavy-duty stuff. Are you listening? Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for joining me here on The Flightline.
Thank you for listening to The Flightline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.